Hey everyone, it's Maria Hinojosa. Thanks for listening to Latino USA. And now, a question. What if MacGyver worked at NPR? Well, he kind of does. Check out the How to Do Everything podcast with Mike and Ian. When you need to know how to find a date or find water in the desert, Mike and Ian are there for you. How to Do Everything is modern life lessons from NPR. Find How to Do Everything now at npr.org/podcasts. From NPR and the Futuro Media Group, it's Latino USA. In Chicago, a mayoral race is underway as Jesus Chuy Garcia faces off against a powerful incumbent, Rahm Emanuel.
And how we got to this mess wasn't overnight, and we're not going to get out of it overnight.
There's a long history of financial mismanagement related to Rahm Emanuel.
Chuy is outgunned and outspent, but Chicago politics, they're decided on the streets.
In order for Chuy to win this election, we're going to knock a lot of doors.
Today on Latino USA, we go behind the scenes of Chuy's campaign as he tries to become Chicago's first Latino mayor. Stay with us. No se vayan.
Hard time. Hard time. Hard time. Follow me.
It's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa, and welcome to Chicago.
We're going back now, because you have to get in there now.
As fast as we can.
I'm racing through downtown Chicago in a van with mayoral candidate Jesus Chuy Garcia. Chuy is an old-school Chicago activist and politician, currently serving as a commissioner of Cook County.
Hit it at this thing over here. Let's make a U-turn.
Now, he's running to unseat current Chicago mayor Rahm Emanuel, President Obama's former chief of staff. It's 3 weeks before the election, and there's a lot of work to be done.
Okay, ready to go. Right here. Let's go. That's it. Let's go.
Okay. We're at a press conference now near McCormick Place. A political group called Reclaim Chicago is announcing their endorsement for Chuy.
Good morning, sisters and brothers. I am extremely proud to stand with you today.
Chuy is a marathon runner, slim and in his late 50s. His hair is short, and he's got a big but well-groomed mustache. He flashes an infectious smile at the crowd that's gathered.
Under Emanuel, Chicago is really two cities. The gleaming corporate wealth of the Loop, surrounded by dozens of neighborhoods that are starved of resources.
A reporter asks Chuy, how can you compete with the mayor in terms of fundraising?
We cannot match the millionaires and billionaires that support Rahm Emanuel. We don't need to. The only thing we need, the thing that we need is people, and we got people. Bit of money to deliver our message via the airwaves, and we're doing that, and we'll continue to do it through a great victory on Tuesday, April 7th.
So here's the deal. On April 7th, Chicagoans will head to the polls to choose their next mayor. But in the meantime, Chuy is being outspent about 5-1. But he has some key unions behind him, and a grassroots movement to elect him that is growing. And people are really fired up, which is what we saw, right, Marlon?
Yeah, they really are.
That's Latino USA producer Marlon Bishop. He and I flew out to Chicago a few weeks before the election with another producer, Camilo Vargas, and we spent a few days following the Chuy campaign and talking to voters. I grew up in Chicago, but Marlon, you're a New Yorker.
Yeah, and I have to say, one thing that I really didn't realize at all about Chicago is how much of a Latino city it is. Chicago is almost 30% Latino, and if Chuy wins, he'll be the first Latino mayor of the city.
So today, we're spending our full hour going behind the scenes of the Chuy Garcia campaign. Now, in total transparency, I have known Chewy for a long time because I grew up in the Second City. We're covering this story, though, because it's a huge moment for Latinos in politics. And we wanted to find this out. What does it look like when a Latino politician runs for the highest office of one of America's greatest cities, especially against a politician with some serious national recognition?
You know, there have been a few big city Latino mayors in the past in heavily Latino cities like L.A. or San Antonio or Miami, for example. But unlike those cities, Chicago is a place where you need a lot more than just the Latino vote to win.
And as Latinos become a bigger and bigger piece of the American electorate, what does a race like this mean for the future of politics in our country? So, some background on this election. Rahm Emanuel became mayor 4 years ago, fresh out of the White House as President Obama's chief of staff.
Rahm was kind of a political celebrity at the time, and he won easily. As you may know, Rahm is kind of famous for this no-nonsense, confrontational way of doing things. He once famously sent a dead fish to a pollster as a message. And over his term as mayor, he made a lot of people in Chicago pretty angry.
Chicago's been facing massive financial problems. Part of Rahm's solution was to close 50 schools and half of the city's mental health clinics, many of which served African Americans and Latinos. And a lot of Chicagoans didn't like that.
Enter Chuy Garcia. As we mentioned, Chuy has been a figure in local politics for a really long time, over 30 years. He served in city, state, and county government, representing the largely Mexican-American neighborhood where he lives.
And it's important to mention that Chuy had no intention of running for mayor.
At the last minute, one of the candidates discovered a brain tumor and had to drop out of the race. The Chicago Teachers Union basically begged Chuy to run in her place.
The election happened in February, and although Rahm got the most votes, he didn't manage to get the 50% of the vote needed to officially win. So the two top candidates, Chuy and Rahm, have to face each other in a runoff.
In fact, it will be the first runoff election in the history of Chicago.
But this election is exciting lots of people. And while we were out reporting, we ran into this guy.
Charles Thomas. I'm a reporter. I work at ABC7 in Chicago. You've got Chuy saying he's the man of the people, working man's candidate. And his campaign is casting Rahm Emanuel as mayor 1%. You know, Rahm Emanuel has all the weaponry. He has the big budget. He's doing the television ads. For Rahm Emanuel, this is like taking a bazooka into a knife fight. This is an old school Chicago style election. People on the street.
For you, is it an exciting time as a
political
reporter?
This is the best election we've had in Chicago in at least a quarter century.
So you're revved up as a journalist.
Ooh, I love this. I love this game.
Chuy is down in the polls, but he's putting up a good fight. He knows that if he wants to win, he needs to campaign nonstop. So what does that look like? Well, Marlon and I spent a day following Chuy around.
Right, so how far are we?
Oh, we're almost there.
We zip over to ABC Studios, where Chuy is taping an interview for a local weekend news show.
Chicago Mayor, Commissioner Jesus Chuy Garcia. I want to ask you now about Chicago public schools.
And after what feels like just minutes, we're off again, heading south to the other side of the city.
We're in a neighborhood called Altgeld Gardens, where, incidentally, President Obama got his start in politics years ago as a community organizer.
It's great to be on the deep, deep south side of the city of Chicago!
After the speech, the cameras followed Chuy on a tour of the neighborhood.
Everyone, we're going to walk through the community.
We walk past rows of low-rise public housing until we reach the home of 70-year-old Shirley Simmons.
And Mrs. Simmons didn't hesitate to speak her mind to Chuy about his recent debate performance.
Just about everything you said, trust me. Just wait till I get to be mayor.
He wants me to say that I'm going to raise everybody's taxes so that I lose the election right off the bat. Mm. I'm saying we need to open up the books and find out how the books are cooked and find out where the expenditures are going. Because I'll tell you one thing, they're not coming to Altgeld Gardens. That's what I'm saying. All right, Ms. Simmons.
Chuy says goodbye to Mrs. Simmons, and then we're off to campaign headquarters to regroup. On the way to downtown, we wanted to get a sense of what Chicago voters in other parts of the city are thinking.
So we stopped by Ukrainian Village, an Eastern European neighborhood.
If you ask me, I'm voting for Rahm Emanuel. I think he's better for the city.
We meet Chris Polipovich at the insurance office where she works.
But, you know, if I were him, I would not admit to a name like Chuy.
And what do you know his name is besides Chuy?
Well, I'm not sure. I think it's Jose, but I'm not positive. But Chewie, please.
What does it say to you?
That's out of Star Wars.
Oh, you're thinking Chewbacca.
Yes.
So, in case you were wondering, Chewie is a pretty common nickname in Spanish for anyone named Jesus, not Jose. Meanwhile, elsewhere in Chicago, our producer Camilo Vargas spoke with an Eritrean cab driver who goes by the name Lee Dixon, and he is pumped.
In my entire life, I've never voted. So this is the first time that I'm voting.
And so your first vote is going to be for Chewie Garcia?
The second time running, because I voted for him the first time too. He has a feeling of what I go through as an immigrant who is trying to struggle to raise up a family here.
Eventually, we make it to the campaign headquarters downtown. And as we enter, we walk over a doormat with a giant mustache on it.
Chewie's mustache has become kind of a mascot for the campaign. His supporters wear fake mustaches at his rallies and carry signs with mustaches on them. There's even a Twitter account with the handle Chewie's Stash.
And here at the headquarters, the mustaches are everywhere.
A few dozen people are hard at work. They're hunched over maps and unpacking boxes full of buttons and posters.
Hi, Tania Unzueta. Good to meet you.
They're going to try to do a blitz with the young
progressives. Tania works with the campaign. When we meet her, she's going over plans with another campaign worker, Mayra Lopez. And from the sound of it, they basically never stop working.
I have my pillows and my blankets at the office.
Then, all of a sudden, the always energetic political director of this campaign, Clem Balanoff, storms through.
Or he brings like a meatloaf, a big meatloaf or something for everybody, and they eat it for breakfast.
Clem is an old school Chicago politico. He goes way back with Chewie.
Hey, he took me to Mexico in 1993. We went down there to fight NAFTA. I'll never forget it, and the PRD convention.
Clem got involved at the very beginning of the campaign. He says he's doing it not just because Chewie is his friend, but because it's about something much bigger.
The entire dialogue at the Democratic convention can shift with the election of somebody like Chewie Garcia, because he's the kind of person that will become almost a national leader in an instant. That's why the millionaires and billionaires are dumping so much money into Rahm Emanuel, because they understand what this is about.
Evening falls. Chewie is dead tired, but he has one last event, and we tag along. Immigrants from Chewie's home state of Durango in Mexico are throwing him a fundraiser at a Mexican wedding hall.
Recibamos al próximo alcalde de la ciudad de Chicago, Jesús Chewie García. Bienvenido!
People crowd around for photos with the candidate and a chance to offer encouragement.
Okay, settle down. No se crea.
Here with his hometown crowd, Chewie is cracking jokes and looks relaxed.
He thanks everybody for their donations, their time volunteering, their prayers. He assures them victory is coming.
Evelyn Chinea de García y su servidor, Chewie García. Muchísimas gracias, ¿eh? Oh, y que viva Puerto Rico!
And then he's gone as quickly as he arrived. The day is over. At this point, there's only a few weeks left to go, and the pressure is on. Time to get a little rest and do it all again tomorrow.
Voy a cantarles, amigos, un corrido. Y por favor, pónganle mucha atención. Es Don Chewie García de la Villita, captando toda nuestra imaginación. El candidato para alcalde de Chicago, originario de Durango, México. Su gran campaña ya se va acabando, por eso canto con urgencia y emoción.
Coming up on Latino USA, the down and dirty of Chicago politics.
If there were any ulterior motive, the investigative reporters would have already found it out.
Stay with us on this special edition of Latino USA.
Going down a dirty inner city side road, I plotted. Madness passed me by, she smiled high, I nodded. looked up as the sky began to cry. She shot it. Met a girl from Dearborn early 6 o'clock this morning, Colfax. Asked about the bag, suburbia's such a drag, won't go back.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from Inada, maker of the Dreamwave massage chair, Japanese crafted with shiatsu point detection and 16 pre-programmed massages, including morning, night, and full body sessions. Learn more at dreamwavechair.com. And the May Family Foundation, supporting Fountain House, committed to providing opportunities for people with mental illness to live, work, and learn through a community of mutual support. More information is available at fountainhouse.org.
Hola, mis queridos listeners. It's Maria. And I have a couple of favors to ask you. If you listen to us on iTunes, please take a couple of minutes and rate and review our show. It really helps. And if you really love what we do here, head over to latinousa.org and click on the donate button. Even just 10 bucks from everyone who listens to our show would make a huge difference in helping us to make the radio you love. Muchas gracias. Welcome back to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa, and today on the show, a deep dive into the Chuy Garcia campaign for mayor of Chicago. Chicago is one of the most segregated cities in America. People think of the north side as white, the south side as black, and Latinos in particular barrios. Racial tension is often high, but there's this word that comes up a lot when Chuy's supporters describe him. They call him the unifier. The coalition that's been building around Chuy includes Latinos, African Americans, working class whites, LGBT folks, young voters, and progressives. And it isn't a coincidence that Chuy's base is multiracial. In a way, he's been working on that coalition since he was a kid.
When I arrived in Chicago in 1965, I was introduced through a culture shock of Chicago winter, being pushed around because you were different, because you didn't speak English.
Chuy arrived in Chicago at age 9 from a tiny rural town in Durango, Mexico.
What enabled me to sort of become aware of the social construction of race was living on a block that was diverse.
On the west side, there were Mexicans, Puerto Ricans, blacks, as well as Polish and Czech people.
And what was always there was music, black music.
Put your bands up, say it loud.
And everybody could move, everybody could swing to it, you know. There was white boys and white girls swinging to it. There were Mexicans who thought they were like as cool as James Brown.
But I say we won't quit moving until we get what we deserve.
And look, when we had block parties and you had like this, you know, mixture of people there, they would play like, you know, say it loud. And everybody was like, I'm black and I'm proud. And people would raise their fist. And, you know, the white kids would do that, the Puerto Rican kids, the Mexican kids, and you had that.
Black music taught Chuy to question racial divisions. But the civil rights movement taught him he might be able to do something about them.
But somewhere I read.
And then, of course, hearing early on powerful speakers and preachers like Dr. Martin Luther King.
The greatness of America is the right to protest far right.
That really opened my mind at a very young age and sort of made me a rebel early on.
Years later in college, Chuy channeled that rebel spirit into grassroots political organizing. Eventually, he and his group of young, mostly Mexicano activists decided they needed to get into electoral politics. Back then, there were no Latinos on city ballots, even in wards that were mostly Mexican. In 1986, Chuy was elected as an alderman, as city council members are known in Chicago. He became a close ally of Harold Washington, Chicago's first African-American mayor and a legendary figure in local politics. Now, fast forward to today's campaign.
Chewy's link with the late Harold Washington is extremely important. To help us understand why, our producer Marlon Bishop spoke with a historian of Chicago politics.
Chicago politics are really something else.
We've had 33 aldermen go to jail. 4 of the last 9 governors have gone to jail.
This is Dick Simpson. He's a political scientist and former alderman. Chicago, he says, is the most corrupt city in America. And it's because of something called the machine.
Well, the political machine traded favors for votes. When favors were simply the civic or regular city services.
The machine has been run by the Democratic Party since the 1930s. And it used to mean that if you wanted to make sure your streets got swept or your garbage got picked up, you had to vote for the party's chosen candidates.
It also meant trading jobs at City Hall, and it meant corrupt contracts, which were inflated.
So whether you were an elected official or an ordinary Chicagoan, if you supported the mayor and gave him what he needed, he'd make sure you were taken care of. Wink, wink. The system encouraged corruption, and it wasn't very democratic, but it did keep things running smoothly.
But to judge the entire police department by the alleged action of a few would be just as unfair.
The guy you're hearing now, Mayor Richard Daley, was the machine's master technician. He ruled the city for 21 years. His son, also named Richard Daley, took over for another 22 years, until very recently, in 2011. But in between, for a brief period of time, starting in 1983, there was a guy who fought the machine and won. His name was Harold Washington.
When freedom-moving people went to work to create a new form of government, a government based on democratic principles and on individual freedom.
In Chicago, you never hear about Republicans versus Democrats. Instead, the battles have been between the machine and the reformers. Harold was a reformer.
To battle against the machine, you had to be strong and hardy, and you had to have a broad vision, and you had to be able to mobilize people.
Harold promised 3 things to the city of Chicago.
Good government, affirmative action, and more power to the neighborhoods.
And he won by putting together a coalition of mostly Black and Latino supporters. A few years later, Chewy was elected as an alderman and became Harold's closest liaison to the Latino community. Today, a lot of people in Chicago, especially African Americans and progressives, look back at the Harold Washington years as kind of a golden age of city politics, a time when the city really listened to the people.
It changed Chicago politics permanently.
But it didn't last.
Harold Washington died of a heart attack.
He died in office, actually at his desk. And just a few years later, the Daleys were back in power. When a lot of people look at this election that's going on right now, they see a modern-day version of the battle Richard Daley and Harold Washington fought back in 1983, with similar political ideologies facing off.
And I think Chicagoans particularly think this is a critical election. I think they believe this matters who wins, that it's charting the direction of the future of the city.
As the election draws nearer, the 2 campaigns have a huge task ahead of them, to convince every Chicagoan that their direction leads to a better place.
If Chewy wants to break the modern-day Chicago machine, he'll have to do well with African Americans. The Chicago politicos all agree. The Black vote is the key to winning this election.
What are you feeling right now?
Right now, I don't know who to vote for, really. I voted for Rahm Emanuel from the first runoff, but now I'm just, if Garcia going to do a better job, I'm all for it.
I met Rochelle Coleman and her sister Josephine on the street in West Chicago, and I asked them what they were thinking about going into this election.
Look at our streets. They look a mess. You go on the north side of Chicago, you don't see all these potholes and sinkholes, and it's horrible.
They say the improvements of downtown are great and all, but
to come out of my door and feel safe in this neighborhood, all this gang banging and the drugs.
But that doesn't necessarily translate into a vote for Chewy.
So I want them to put some on the news that's going to catch my attention, or some literature in my mailbox, because I read my mail. I want to see some stuff. I haven't seen nothing.
Hi, we're here for the pastor. It's Maria Hinojosa with NPR.
Garcia's probably not going to get a majority of the Black vote. But if he can get 45%, then he's going to make this race very interesting.
This is Reverend Marshall Hatch. He's an influential pastor from Chicago's West Side. Black churches are major power brokers in Chicago politics. A pastor's endorsement can mean a lot of votes. Many pastors have decided to throw their weight behind Chewy, including the Reverend Jesse Jackson and Reverend Hatch.
To me, I don't think most black people I knew what a Chewy was. But now, you know, folks are kind of like Chewy. You know, it's kind of catching on, Rahm versus Chewy.
In 2011, Rahm won the black vote easily. After all, he's President Obama's guy. But this time around, it's not so certain.
What is the dynamic of the black vote as you see it?
There's a lot of animosity in the black community for the policies of Rahm Emanuel's administration. And the red light tickets, you know, the way that...
What do you mean, the red light tickets?
Well, we have in Chicago automatic red light tickets that, you know, no one should run a red light except these are sort of like booby traps. And so the tickets are $100, and if they're not paid in 14 days, they become $200. And so, you know, poor people are really struggling to hold on to their cars.
The red light cameras were around and controversial before Rahm took office, but he doubled down on them.
This is the way that the Emanuel administration has been able to say we have not raised taxes, but they're raising $70 million on red light cameras a year.
The red light cameras have become a huge issue in this campaign. Everybody we met in Chicago is talking about them. And then, of course, there's the schools.
There were 50 schools closed, and there were actually 100 that were proposed to be closed. That's unprecedented. This is the largest school closings in American history. And I knew that the political insider's calculation was 2 years to go before an election. They'll forget. I'm so proud that the people did not forget.
The city said, the schools are failing. The city is broke. We have to close them. But when a school closes, it impacts the entire neighborhood around it in many ways.
How the heck are you going to sell your house with a boarded up school three doors down from where your major financial investment is? And here's this powerful guy paying a tremendous political price because the people are so stupid after all, are they?
The price Rahm is paying is a tough fight for re-election. Meanwhile, Chewy has promised to shut down the red light cameras on day one as mayor. He says he'll put a moratorium on closing more schools. And he says he'll hire an additional 1,000 police officers, a relief to many African Americans dealing with high levels of violence in their neighborhoods. But all the promises and all the pastors might not be enough. Rahm has a lot of black leaders behind him. But Chewy is hoping his close ties to former Mayor Harold Washington will be worth something. Harold's memory is still alive in Chicago, especially in black Chicago. And a lot of people see Chewy as tapping into the spirit of reform that Harold brought to the city in 1983. Reverend Hatch sees it that way.
We have a chance to make history here. And I think in the next few weeks, we should work as hard as we can. And it's the kind of stuff that history is made of. Change the course, give some hope to the people. You know, this could be a time that people are right about and say, remember those days as well.
Now, to win, Chewy needs to pull huge numbers in the Latino community. And you're probably thinking, he's got the Latinos. They're his base. But in the February election, Rahm Emanuel took a third of the Latino vote. Rahm also has 5 of the 8 Latino aldermen strongly on his side. And they're helping him get those votes by turning their offices into campaign bases in Latino neighborhoods. We're at a phone bank in one of those offices in the Mexican barrio of Pilsen. There, we meet two of Rahm's biggest Latino supporters in this race, Susana Mendoza, the city clerk, and Congressman Luis Gutierrez, one of the leading voices on immigration reform and one of Chuy Garcia's oldest political buddies.
Congressman, this is
Maria
Mendoza from NPR.
Hello. How are you? Good to see you.
Many were surprised when Gutierrez endorsed Rahm Emanuel now, because when Emanuel ran the first time, Gutierrez endorsed the other guy and blasted Rahm for his record of throwing immigration reform under the bus. But then Emanuel won the election, and the two sat down to iron out their differences.
The mayor called me. We sat down. We talked. He said, can we take an eraser to the chalkboard?
and just erase it, start fresh? And he said, what do I have to do to earn your support? And I said, make Chicago the most immigrant-friendly city in the nation. And together, we began working on that.
Despite his record, Gutierrez says Rahm delivered on immigration, pushing for driver's licenses for undocumented immigrants and scholarship programs for dreamers.
He introduced legislation making it statutory that we do not cooperate with ICE agents in the city of Chicago, our police department.
So it's not a problem for you at all, the fact that you have this history with Chuy Garcia?
To say that it isn't a problem is to try to lie about the obvious. Of course, Chuy's my friend. 30 years, every struggle. We've been together in every election. When he ran for state senate, I supported him. When he ran for Cook County Commission, I still remember like 3 or 4 years ago, he said, Louis, I'm coming back in. Can you help me? I mean, to see him and Evelyn and to see them together on that stage and to know all of the wonderful moments we spent together, of course. Rahm Emanuel kept his word.
Gutierrez says, nothing personal. It's all about policy. And since this is Chicago...
By now, people would have said, well, why is Luis with Rahm? And I assure you, if there were any ulterior motive, the investigative reporters would have already found it out.
Gutierrez and Mendoza say Rahm also delivered on early education and community colleges, big issues for Latinos. All this, even as he's made unpopular decisions, like the school closings. He did it because of the city's $33 billion debt.
Decisions that hurt, but were necessary for the future benefit of the city. It's kind of like you have cancer. It's the worst. Nobody wants to take that medicine. So you're going to risk taking this nasty, horrible medicine that makes you feel terrible for a short amount of time in order to have a chance at a better future, right?
And they believe Chuy Garcia can't make these decisions, especially since he's made promises like hiring 1,000 more policemen or taking out the dreaded red light cameras without saying exactly how the city will pay for them.
With all due respect, I mean, what kind of leadership is that? That's not what the city of Chicago needs right now.
But the most important message they want to get across is for Latinos to vote based simply on issues.
If your radio audience is saying, why doesn't he support the Latino for mayor? Then there's nothing I can say that's going to convince them. As a Latino community, when we challenge people, and they meet the goals that we've set for them, and we don't support them, then maybe it doesn't speak that well about us and our political future.
But they do admit Rahm could do a better job at reaching out to Latinos.
Our community is very touchy-feely. We're very warm and fuzzy. We like to see the people schmoozing you, if you want to call it such, right? He's not that guy.
He's getting much better at it.
Because he's surrounded by, you know, Louis a little bit on the warm and fuzzy side. I'm too, and I tell maybe we'll rub off on him a little bit.
After our chat, local reporters shoot footage of Gutierrez and Mendoza hitting the phones.
Thank you so much. I'm 2 for 2 this evening.
Okay.
But then we hear the sound of about a dozen protesters outside.
I'm a volunteer with the mayor.
Thank you. You have a great day.
Rahm is the only one that is guilty of the deportations. Too many.
Mendoza says the protesters are here because word must have gotten out that the media would be here to cover her and Luis.
You guys, like, said that we were going to be doing phone banking tonight.
Yeah.
And that Louis and I were going to be here. So that makes sense.
Yeah. Chicago street politics.
Yeah. It is what it is. It's a campaign.
It is.
Like, when did those progressive values about, you know, wanting better things for the masses turn into, you know, a right to bully and to make me feel bad for getting in the way of the first Latino, even if he's not, in my opinion, the most qualified candidate.
Both campaigns are fighting tooth and nail to win over voters. Inside, politicians make phone calls. Outside, activists protest. And the battle for those undecided voters will be fought on the streets of Chicago.
Whoa, so tired I could cry. Woman, I could just lay down.
Coming up on Latino USA, we hear from Chuy Garcia himself.
There's cookies with mustaches. There are pacifiers for children with mustaches on them. It's just kind of wild.
Stay with us. Hey, everyone. It's Maria Hinojosa. Thanks for listening to Latino USA. And now, a question. What if MacGyver worked at NPR? Well, he kind of does. Check out the How to Do Everything podcast with Mike and Ian. When you need to know how to find a date or find water in the desert, Mike and Ian are there for you. How to Do Everything is modern life lessons from NPR. Find How to Do Everything now at npr.org/podcasts.
To be some changes made. Hey, baby, it's got to be some changes made. If you don't want me around, I've got to be on my way.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from Lumber Liquidators, a proud sponsor of NPR, offering more than 400 styles, including hardwood, bamboo, laminate, and vinyl, with floor specialists in hundreds of stores nationwide. More at lumberliquidators.com or 1-800-HARDWOOD. And the Kresge Foundation, expanding opportunities in America's cities through grant-making and social investing. More at kresge.org.
Welcome back to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. And today, Latino USA is on the ground in Chicago covering the mayoral race between Chuy Garcia and Rahm Emanuel. When we were there, with a few weeks left before the election, Chuy Garcia trailed far behind Rahm in the polls, thanks in part to a steady stream of attack ads.
Chuy Garcia voted to hit us with the largest property
tax. But what Chuy lacks in money for commercials, he has in volunteers on the ground. Our producer Camilo Vargas visited one of Chuy's field offices as campaign workers prepared for Operation Get Out the Vote.
At this point in the race, Chuy's victory depends on getting as many of his supporters to the voting booths as possible. So at the campaign office, field chiefs prepared dozens of volunteers for Operation Get Out the Vote. And here are some of the tactics that they're using. First, find your strongholds and your allies.
I was recently elected 35th Ward Alderman here in the Logan Square. So now I'm helping Chuy full-time through April 7th.
That's Carlos Rosa. He's one of the two Latino aldermen on Chuy's side.
In order for me to win my election, I had to knock a lot of doors. And in order for Chuy to win this election, we're going to knock a lot of doors.
But not just any doors. The campaign has to find registered voters in neighborhoods that are likely to support Chuy. In this case, Logan Square is 50% Latino, and polls show a majority of Latino voters would go for Chuy. So now the campaign has to find out where they are by going out canvassing.
So this is your first time canvassing, right?
Yeah.
Great.
Carlos is about to train 26-year-old volunteer Marilyn Vito on how to go out canvassing, talking face-to-face with voters. The most important question Marilyn has to ask is,
can we count on your vote for Chuy Garcia on April 7th?
And depending on what they say, Marilyn will score them.
If they tell you right away they're voting for Chuy, like if you get to that door and you have your Chuy button on, they're like, oh my God, I love Chuy, I'm definitely voting for him. Then you know right away they're a one.
If they're undecided, there are three. And Marilyn should talk to them using the campaign script.
So Chuy's going to prioritize our neighborhoods and our families. Rahm Emanuel prioritizes his big campaign contributors and super rich people.
It's a message they've seen works with voters. Now, if voters aren't convinced and dislike Chuy, they get a four. And if they say,
I love Rahm or I'm voting for Rahm, they're a five.
And if anyone is a four or five,
stop talking to them.
No time for arguing or converting. I'm tagging along with Marilyn and a field coordinator who reminds me of a huge campaign rule. Sorry, can I get your name and what we're doing?
Oh, I can't talk. It's like, I'll get fired by my...
Be careful with the press.
Can you talk?
Sure. I
think can you tell me who she is? But I find a workaround.
Her name is Michelle.
All right, so we're on our way.
Nobody here has gates. I find that very interesting.
Really?
Like you're in Chicago, you need a gate.
Yeah, this feels like almost suburban.
Yeah, this spot's pretty nice.
And as we turn the corner on the block we're covering...
Has to really... See? Hispanics.
The neighborhood is actually pretty mixed. We make our way down the block, and Michelle shows Marilyn the ropes.
Can I go introduce yourself?
My name is Marilyn.
Marilyn.
Hi. What are you guys doing here?
I am looking for Jan.
You are talking to Jan.
Jan. Oh, I'm sorry, Jan.
No problem. Nice to meet you. No problem.
Well, the reason we are coming by is...
So Michelle makes the ask. Will Jan vote for Chewy?
We don't know until that day gets here.
So Michelle doesn't give him a score. She can't make assumptions. The campaign needs detailed info on voters.
Mm-hmm. So I would go ahead and just make a notation, maybe refused.
As they get closer to the election, this data will guide the campaign, and they don't want to get the wrong people. Take it from Michelle. She's already a campaign veteran.
Okay. So sometimes you'll see like private property, no trespassing, but we're not really trespassing.
Sorry. This doesn't count as trespassing?
No, because we're not doing anything. Okay.
In this election, volunteers have to be aggressive.
This was locked.
In city elections, even a few thousand votes can make a huge difference.
Hi, we were looking.
No score, and on to the next one.
I haven't decided yet.
You haven't decided yet? No, certainly. Well, do you mind if I leave some information with you here?
We've had like 50 of those dropped off our house, so
certainly.
I'm good.
Which leads us to another campaign tactic. Insist.
Because obviously he's still undecided. So we're going to come back and talk to him again.
As many times as needed before election day. Okay, finally, it's Marilyn's turn.
Okay.
And they finally get a one, a house of Chewy supporters. So, and this is very important, make sure your voters know when and how to vote. And to tell their family and friends to vote too. Chewy's election depends on getting Latino voters out by the thousands on election day. And that's a particular challenge for the campaign. Latinos in Chicago have lagged behind in registering and voting, even though they're a third of the city. And a recent poll showed both campaigns were not reaching out to them. But now that's changing with volunteers like Marilyn.
I like when they speak Spanish.
Back in the office, Marilyn and Michelle get the final count.
Then you would just put 34 names.
Wow.
The info goes into a database for election day. And that's when Operation Get Out the Vote will go into its final stage, the voter blitz. Carlos, Michelle, Marilyn, and an army of over 5,000 volunteers will be going through their lists frantically, making last-minute phone calls, knocking on their doors again, getting people to the polls.
So this is a mural that is at our Logan Square office. It's Chewy's face. At the top it says, Para el Pueblo, for the people. And the mustache, if you look closely, it's the skyline of Chicago.
That's Tania Unzueta. The campaign has literally painted the town Chewy because posters, buttons, yard signs, they're there to create a sense of possibility that they can still win.
Before February 24th, there were a lot of Latinos who didn't think he could win, who were uninterested in the election because it was like, he's just going to lose.
Their challenge now is to make supporters, especially Latinos, realize that in this election, their vote will actually count.
Throughout this episode, we've been hearing lots of people talk about Chewy Garcia. But what's it like to be Chewy right now? I mean, one minute, he's holding a position in the county government, and the next, his name is literally all over Chicago. In the chaos of the campaign, we got an opportunity to sit down with the mustachioed man himself at his campaign headquarters and ask him, what's it like for you?
Did you want to be running for mayor, Chewy? Is it really about this historic moment that you're just like, I got to do this?
I thought that a run like this was behind me, that it had passed. Many people urged me to do it. Many people wanted me. They begged me. Over many years, the city is at a certain point in time, its people are at a certain point in time where they want to try something different and they're willing to reach across this line that they had not crossed before. That's what I sense. It's enthusiastic. You can feel it.
Is there a moment Chewy, when you kind of look around and you're like, wait a second, is this really happening?
It does seem surreal. Everything that's transpired since the evening that I announced that we would put petitions on the street, we wind up collecting more signatures than any other candidate through an all-volunteer army that just emerges from the different neighborhoods in the city, from across the city, across race, across ethnicity, across geography. We see signs of new campaign materials that people come up with.
That you have nothing to do with.
That we have nothing to do with. Website, you know, sites pop up.
The mustache.
The mustache just takes off. You know, there's cookies with mustaches. There are pacifiers for children with mustaches on them. It's just kind of wild. Cab drivers in Chicago, they're stopping, honking at me and giving me a thumbs up, say, Chewy, go get them. You know, what else could I say except that I didn't expect this. I never imagined it.
So do you consider yourself now a Latino leader on the national scale? Have you kind of taken ownership of that term and this moment?
Right now, my strongest connection is to people in Chicago, and I already feel a sense of great responsibility to be as inclusive and embracing to all the people in Chicago. By the same token, I know that the Latino community has very dear aspirations because they see me in a certain light. It's historic, especially in their reality.
But do you feel like a leader? Do you feel like you have to be?
When I'm elected, I will have to own that. You know, I have to get elected in order for that to be sort of consummated, I believe, but I see it. I understand it.
So what do you think let's just assume Harold Washington is watching what's happening now. You were very close to Harold Washington. You were not front and center, right? You were not in the front of the camera then.
No.
Harold was. What do you think he's thinking?
Oh, Harold is so happy. He is just grinning from ear to ear at what's going on in Chicago. He's probably saying, man, it took you guys so long to get it together and to get to this point. Come on now. Don't blow it. Which only increases the pressure on me to get elected.
You think Harold Washington is wearing that mustache? He had that mustache.
No doubt. Of course. The stash is back.
The election in Chicago is about more than just the future of one city. A lot of people around the country are watching this election very closely.
Good to have you here.
Great, thank you.
Get our money and then get back to Chicago.
All right.
A few weeks before the election, Chewy Garcia takes time off campaigning in Chicago for a fundraiser in New York City. He's here to shake hands with donors and high-profile New York City progressives.
He's a public advocate for New York City.
Oh, how are you?
Nice to meet you. It's an honor and a privilege.
Chewy Garcia has raised more than $4 million from big Latino donors and labor unions across the country. And some unions are recruiting the old guard, like Eddie Kay, who's coming out of retirement to head to Chicago.
I have my ticket, and I'll be there. I have my assignments, and I'm a good agitator, and I intend to agitate to win.
Something about Chewy reminds him of good old-fashioned union politics.
See, that's what he understands, that you don't do for people, you mobilize people, and they do for themselves.
And part of what we are looking to do is joining with cities like New York and your mayor, right, going to the Democratic convention and to the Republican convention also to say America needs to embark on a massive jobs program to rebuild America's infrastructure. Because that will enable us to address high unemployment rate, especially in cities across America. And
the reason progressives are gathered at this event is that they think that Chewy Garcia, much like New York's mayor, Bill de Blasio, represents a larger national battle for the soul of the Democratic Party. To make sense of what this election means nationwide, I'm joined now by Lidia Camarillo. She's vice president of the Southwest Voter Registration Education Project. Lidia Camarillo, welcome back to Latino USA.
Gracias por la invitación.
So what, in your view, Lidia, as you see this, what does this election mean for the future of the Democratic Party?
Well, I think that this is an opportunity for the progressives to challenge the establishment. That's what I think really is at stake here. So this election is being watched around the country because it is the third largest city. Even if he loses, it changes the dynamics that progressives can, in fact, change the policies within the establishment by challenging an incumbent in a city that hasn't seen a runoff in 60 years or more.
So whether Chuy Garcia wins or loses, what do you think that this election might say and might mean for Latino leadership?
I think that once we saw Antonio Villaraigosa become the first mayor in 100 years in Los Angeles, you began to see across the United States Latinos running for office. And so what you see is that Latinos, they are electing their own, and they understand that they have to build a consensus with Blacks and white progressives to get elected in cities that are not majority Latino. And usually they are not incumbents and they're not the anointed. And they not only have less money to bring their message in, but they have to really work at the grassroots levels with all the communities that are represented in those communities. I think this is the case in Chicago.
Are you saying you believe that this campaign could inspire other Latinos to step up to the plate and run for office in major ways?
Yeah, I am saying that. I think that I'm saying that this campaign will inspire others to run for elections that they wouldn't think that they could win. It is 2015. It's time for the Latino electorate to move to its next phase. And this is the next phase, running city governments at the highest level within those governments.
Chuy Garcia may or may not become the first Latino mayor of Chicago. But regardless of what happens, this race has been an electrifying moment in the history of Chicago politics and Latino politics on a national scale. Chuy Garcia, once an immigrant kid from Durango, a longtime grassroots activist, is giving one of the most powerful men in America a run for his money. And as the Latino electorate grows in America, and as more Latinos run for office, there'll be other stories like Chuy's on all sides of the political spectrum in all corners of the country. And no matter how you slice this deep dish pizza, democracy wins in Chicago.
You can't judge apple by looking at a tree. You can't judge honey by looking at the bee. You can't judge a daughter by looking at the mother. Book by looking at the cover. Oh, can't you see? Oh, you misjudged me. I look like a farmer, but I'm a lover. Can't judge the book by looking at the cover.
And mis queridos, thanks so much for listening to this special edition of Latino USA. Our show was produced by Camilo Vargas, Marlon Bishop, AC Valdez, Lita Hartman, Daisy Rosario, Michael Simon Johnson, and Antonia Cerejido. Our engineer is Cornelius McMoyler. Nadia Raymond is our music consultant. Our intern is Laura Calzada. Nancy Trujillo makes it all happen. Special thanks this week to Jen Stanley and Luis Perez in Chicago, and Valerie Maxack and the NPR Library. Our show is founded at the University of Texas at Austin. I'm your host and executive producer, Maria Hinojosa. Join us again next week, and in the meantime, we'll see you on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr, and I'll see you on Instagram. Hasta la próxima.
Latino USA is made possible in part by the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation and by the Marguerite Casey Foundation, dedicated to achieving a more just and equitable society for all. The Ford Foundation, dedicated to working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide. And the Carnegie Corporation of New York, supporting innovations in education, democratic engagement, and the strengthening of international peace and security at carnegie.org.
This episode of Latino USA was made possible with support from the Rockefeller Brothers Fund.
Talk like this with the Chicago accent.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from the Lemelson Foundation, committed to improving lives through invention in the U.S. and developing countries, on the web at lemelson.org, and the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, helping people build measurably better lives, supporting efforts to improve women's economic opportunities around the world. More information is available at hewlett.org. This is NPR.